All right, does anybody remember what this is? Next slide. Anybody remember that? Yep. Photographic film, right? Remember those days? The basic modern camera was invented back in the early 1800s. In 1888, a man by the name of George Eastman invented the modern photographic film after a long process of chemical on paper experiments. His company became Eastman Kodak. And photography was greatly affected, has greatly affected the world ever since, hasn't it? Over the past 128 years, we've had the wonderful privilege and pleasure to preserve the things we get to see and experience in life through pictures, thanks to George Eastman. Now, Simeon on that day, he did not have a camera to take a picture of Jesus, did he? That would have been a great photo, would have been a great opportunity for a photograph, wouldn't it? But Luke took a picture, so to speak, for us through his pen, preserving for us in just 10 verses that we just read this wonderful account of this man named Simeon and what he got to see that day. So, let's jump in. Verses 25 through 27, we get to learn a little bit about this man named Simeon. Who was Simeon? This is the only account we have in the Gospels of Simeon. Luke took a lot of detailed work of compiling a testimony about Jesus, and he chose to include this in his Gospel. And I think we're really glad for that. This is one of my favorite characters in the Gospels. The text simply tells us that he was a righteous and devout Jew. He was waiting patiently and expectantly for Messiah and the comfort that Messiah would bring for the Jewish people. As a faithful Jew, he spent time daily at the temple. Thus, we saw him at the temple. Though he was just a layman, he was not a priest or a prophet. And later we'll see that Simeon got to bless the baby Jesus, which sounds like something that a priest would do, but he was just a layman, and he blessed God and blessed the baby Jesus in this place. But Simeon did get to receive a promise from God that he would not see death until he got to see the Lord's Christ. Now, we know nothing else about his age, his vocation, his marital status, or his lineage. We simply know that God chose to directly reveal to Simeon that he would not see death until he got to see the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit enabled him to identify which of the many babies probably coming in that day to be dedicated to God, which one of these babies was the Christ, and he got to bless this child. Luke spends three chapters really building a case for the unique authority and messiahship of Jesus before Jesus' ministry even began. So that's the little bit that we know about Simeon. That's about it. But what Simeon got to see is absolutely amazing. So that's where we're going next. Who Simeon got to see? Verses 28 through 30. Simply put, the text tells us he got to see the Lord's Christ. This Christ would be the one who would bring salvation and peace, not only to Israel, but to the whole world. And this promise of this Messiah, this peace, the salvation Messiah would bring, was promised all the way back in Genesis 3:15. I'm going to say that again. Simply put, The text tells us he got to see the Lord's Christ. This Christ would be the one who would bring the salvation and the peace that the Jewish people have been waiting for centuries. And the whole world has been waiting for this Christ. And it was promised all the way back in Genesis 3:15, centuries, millennia ago. So let's take a quick journey. We're going to flip through a lot of verses here. You may not be able to quickly go through the Bible. If you can, that's great. If you have your Bible with you, I'm going to read a bunch of verses that will really help us bring full color to what might have been going on in Simeon's head that day. I mean, picture it. He got to be the one who got to see the Lord's Christ in the temple. All the Jewish people who had been waiting for Messiah to come, Simeon got the pleasure to see with his own eyes. So we're going to look at a bunch of verses here. What was going on in Simeon's head? And also, what should be going on in our heads, in our hearts this day, now that we have the pleasure and the privilege of having the completed New Testament? So here we go. We're going to roll through about 11 verses or 11 chapters. We're not going to go through them in detail, but it's going to bring some full color to this amazing baby that Simeon got to see. All right, Genesis 3:15. Among other scriptures, I wonder if Simeon thought of Genesis 3:15. Speaking to the devil, God says this, I will put enmity between you, that's the devil, and the woman, and he, that means Jesus, this child that's going to come, will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is a very early prediction, a very early prophecy of Messiah Jesus coming and killing the power of Satan. Genesis 3:15. Centuries later, Simeon got to see this revealed. How about Genesis 15, the Abrahamic covenant? Absolutely, amazingly important to the Jewish people and to Messiah coming. The Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 15, God says to Abraham, look at the stars in the sky, so shall your offspring be. Speaking ultimately of all the people throughout world history who would be saved by faith as Abraham was. Messiah Jesus would come and save all people who would put their trust in him. Jesus is a fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 15. I wonder if Simeon thought of Exodus 12, the Passover. The Passover. When I see the blood on your doorposts, I will pass over your house and no plague will befall you. Speaking of Jesus' blood covering us from the wrath of God, he is the final Passover lamb. Psalm 110, called a royal psalm, speaking of this king who would come. God will make King Jesus the one who will sit on the throne to execute judgment on the nations. He will also be the ultimate priest for the people. This baby Jesus is going to be the one that God puts on the throne to judge the nations. And he's going to become the perfect priest for the people. And then, of course, Isaiah 53. We all know that one. Jesus, this baby, will become the suffering servant, the one who will die to cover the sins of the people once for all time. Now, what about this baby that Jesus, that Simeon was holding? What about this baby? What would he say of himself roughly 30 years later after he's grown up? Well, we have lots of things that Jesus says of himself with divine authority. Here's one that I think we all know that sums it up pretty darn well. John 14:6. Jesus says of himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Pretty blunt of the authority of what this baby would become. How about Peter? What does Peter say of Jesus? Peter becoming the head of the church? Matthew 15:16, we all know this one. Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? All these other people are saying this and that, pointing directly at him. Who do you, getting personal now, who do you say I am? And what does Peter say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What about the people? What about all the people that listened to Jesus? Of course, some mocked, some sneered, some followed him for a little while, but then left him after the teaching became hard. But here's an interesting thing that the people said of Jesus. Luke 19:46. As he taught daily in the temple, could you imagine going to temple each day and listening to Jesus teach? As he taught daily in the temple, the people were hanging on his words. I mean, jaws open. They'd never heard anything like this before. What about John? What does John say of this baby Jesus? John 1:14. And the Word became flesh. This is Christ. The Word becoming flesh. Christ became flesh. And dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son, full of grace and truth. Finally, here's just a couple of things Paul said of Jesus. Romans 3:21-24. Speaking of Jesus, Paul says this, but now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God, granted through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Wow. That alone is worth a sermon. And then one of my favorites, Colossians 1:15, speaking of Jesus. Amazing ramifications on this one as you think about it. All things were created through him and for him, and in him all things hold together. This baby Simeon was holding. That was true of? At this precise time in world history, it is announced through Simeon that salvation from God's judgment on sin for both Jews and Gentiles has now come. This child will be the beginning of the comfort, the peace that all sinful, all confused, all anxious, and all hurting humanity is ultimately looking for. Many looked forward to Jesus from the Old Testament. Are you someone who's hurting, who's looking back to Jesus? I know I am. You might ask, well, what difference does all this make? That's a lot of verses, Seth. It is saying a lot about Jesus. What's the difference? What is it? What difference does it make? Listen to this great quote. I think it's a great quote from John Piper talking about what difference does this baby Jesus really make for us. The deepest longing of the human heart, all human hearts, is to know and enjoy the glory of God. We were made for this. What was the most loving thing Jesus could do for us? What was the end point of the gospel? It's to do whatever he had to do to fulfill this prayer. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given to me. Jesus knows it's hard to walk by faith and not by sight. The most loving thing Jesus could do for us would come and die for us, so that one day we would be able to be with him and see him and enjoy him. I think Simeon got a taste of that day. So we see who Simeon was, who Simeon got to see. Now what about this? Who Jesus affects? Who Jesus affects? Who this baby Jesus will affect? Verses 29 through 35. Well, the first person Jesus affects is Simeon himself. He says in verse 29, "Now you are letting me die with peace." Imagine the sense of satisfaction and awe Simeon had. He was a righteous and devout Jew, waiting his whole life for the consolation of Israel. And for no justified reason of himself, he wasn't some sort of divinely appointed person. He got the blessing to be able to see the Lord's Christ. Imagine the satisfaction he got that would affect him for the rest of his life. So Simeon is number one person who got affected. How about Mary and Joseph, his parents? Verses 33 and 35. His parents marveled at what was said about him. That word marveled basically is translated without words. They were speechless about what was said about him. Put yourself in their shoes. Imagine if something like that was said of your child. And verse 35 says Mary's own heart would be pierced, A, by his ministry, Jesus' ministry, but also this is a predictive statement of the pain she would feel in his eventual death on the cross. And then third and finally, and maybe most significantly, who gets affected by Jesus is the Jews and Gentiles. Verses 32, 34, and 35. This is the first New Testament revealing of how Gentiles are non-Jews, meaning all the nations, including us here in this room today, if you're not a Jew. This is the first New Testament revealing of how all nations can be saved from the wrath of the one and only true God through Jesus. Also, these verses tell us that all the hopes of what Israel was looking for from the covenant promises God had made with Israel were going to come ultimately true through this child. Verses 34 and 35 also tell us many in Israel will believe. Many Jews, as we know, were converted and believed in Jesus as Messiah. But many will stumble over him. Many rejected him and thus receive eternal death. Finally, Jesus will be able to completely reveal the true hearts of all people over all time. That's a pretty amazing statement. Jesus will be able to reveal the hearts of all people of all time, whether they will love him or reject him. Pretty significant thing to say about this baby you're holding in your hands. All of this, verses 28 through 35, in a small, roughly 10-pound baby held in Simeon's hands for a couple of minutes in the history of the world. You think time could have stood still for a moment? What a picture that would be. What a picture that would be. Well, Simeon saw something amazing, didn't he? How about you? You weren't there that day, but have you seen something amazing? Let me conclude an application section with three, I think, important applications that we can take from this passage today. Number one, a little bit of a theology lesson here. It's important for Simeon, but also very important for us. The beauty of the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Now you might say, what is that, Seth? The beauty of the illumination of the Holy Spirit. The illumination of the Holy Spirit is a term we use to talk about eye-opening. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes, not only our physical eyes, but I guess you could say the eyes of our heart, to see Jesus, to see him for who he really is. 2 Corinthians 4:4-6. If you have your Bible, turn with me there. This is a great passage that talks about how God illuminates us by the power of the Holy Spirit so we can see this Jesus. And even Simeon needed this. I'll read it for us. 2 Corinthians 4:4-6. The God of this world, this is Paul speaking, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Now he switches to us. For God has shown light into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God's blinded the minds of unbelievers. Unbelievers can't see Jesus like a believer can. As believers, God has shown light into our hearts. Of course, light illuminates things so that we can see Jesus for who he truly is. Simeon got to see Jesus with his eyes, but even he was guided by the Holy Spirit to do so in a special way. We, here in this room today, we are 100% dependent on the Holy Spirit to see Jesus with the eyes of our hearts. God grants us new birth. He gives us the gift of faith to believe in Christ. He even keeps our faith going to the end. Simeon thanked God and rejoiced over what he got to see. Without the illumination of the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our heart to believe in Jesus, none of us would believe, and none of us would enjoy and be encouraged by the story of Simeon today. It would be just another book of ancient history. But because the Holy Spirit is doing this amazing work in your heart, as a believer, if you are a believer, you can read a story like that and be encouraged and see it as coming from God himself. So that's number one, the beauty of the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Number two, taste and treasure this cosmic king. I use the word cosmic king, cosmic. All things were created for him and through him and in him. All things hold together. I mean, that's a pretty cosmic statement, isn't it? I mean, all things, even the cosmos, is created for him and through him and in him. All the stars hold together. This baby Jesus. And he's a king. We know that. King Jesus. And then I say, taste and treasure. Taste and treasure him. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Matthew 13:34. This is Jesus speaking. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And in his joy, he goes and sells all he has to buy that field. See the picture? He found something so valuable in that field. He went and sold or got rid of, gave away everything he had, because what he found in that field was comparably of much greater value than anything he had in this world. We value what we treasure. We make time for what we treasure. We enjoy what we treasure. There's nothing greater to treasure in the whole world, is there, other than Jesus? Is Jesus the ultimate treasure in your life? I think Simeon treasured that moment. Do you treasure your moments with Christ? Maybe you've asked, how do I treasure Jesus while still living in my everyday world? I mean, come on, Seth, I'm not a monk or something like this, or a missionary. I'm an accountant, I'm a teacher, I'm a business manager. How do I treasure Jesus in my life? Well, listen to what author Joe Rigney says. Listen carefully. I think this is a really good way to integrate and make the glory of God or Christ and our treasuring of him fit together in this common world we live. If we are properly integrating our joy in God and our delight in his gifts, anything you enjoy in the world, then our enjoyment of the gifts ought to enhance and increase our love for God himself. That's true. And our love for God himself ought to enhance and increase our enjoyment of his gifts. Isn't that cool? Hopefully, we can enjoy the things God gives us in this world as a means to enjoying God himself, or insert there, Jesus. And enjoying God, or enjoying Jesus, should enhance our enjoying of the things he gives us in this world. Taste and treasure this cosmic king. Third and finally, Simeon was waiting patiently for the consolation of Israel. Waiting. Let's wait eagerly for his second coming as Simeon did his first. Let's wait eagerly for his second coming, as Simeon did his first. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 says, When Jesus comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at by all who believe. Beautiful verse. Think how long the worshipers of God waited for God to rescue humanity from the effects of sin, waiting for this Redeemer. Centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries of worshipers of God, of faithful Jews, and even those who are Gentiles who converted, were waiting for Messiah to come. Waiting is a big theme in the Bible. As Americans, we're not very good at that. We struggle with waiting, don't we? I think all people do, but we have instant gratification in our world today. We can jump down to Walmart and get whatever we need, or go on the internet and get whatever we need. Waiting is a big theme in the Bible. In the New Testament alone, we have at least 20 references directly related to the second coming of Christ or the coming of the kingdom. We are told in the New Testament to wait expectantly, to wait watchfully, to wait patiently, and to wait eagerly for Christ to come back and once for all rule everything. One day, we too, like Simeon, will get to see the Lord's Christ and rejoice. Well, praise God for the photograph Luke took for us, preserving this great experience Simeon got to have. Is this not a great photograph of an amazing experience? From time to time, go back and enjoy that photo and stand in awe of the great Savior who came for you. If you have any questions about Jesus, if you have any questions about this sermon or anything I talked about in this sermon, do a little something different today. Instead of standing back there at the end of service to say, greet everyone like Jerry usually does, I'm going to stay up here. I'll come just sit down over here. If you have any questions about Jesus or any questions about this sermon, please come up and chat with me. I'd love to talk with you and be available for you if you have any questions or concerns or interest, all right? It'd be great to have you. Well, let me close us in prayer this morning.